For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It is Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you had a great weekend. Mike, I'm not making this up. Literally, the Falcons have signed a quarterback.
Talk to me, Goose.
Easton Stick.
What?
Yeah. They've signed quarterback Easton Stick. Now, this is interesting because as we approach the NFL draft on Thursday, and we've got you covered, guys, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Nobody's covering the NFL draft and the Falcons like us. Mike and I will be down at Mercedes-Benz getting you ready. And then, of course, the draft show with Wes, Dave, and Mike Conti, and then the post show. All of that going on Friday. We'll be at Flowery Branch talking to the guys up there. But this is interesting because, you know, again, people are like, who? Don't get caught up in this. And I've told you guys, everybody's like, well, who the backup going to be? It doesn't matter. What matters is there a way to get a deal done this week with Kirk Cousins, potentially with another team? Right. Now, Steve Wyche came on the show to start the show today, and he said, look, I think there are teams out there that are willing, but I don't think there are teams that are willing to do what Adam Schefter suggested, and that is that the Falcons potentially are asking teams to pay 20 of the $45 million worth of guarantees left on Cousins' contract. Now, the way I see this, Mike, is you could still do a deal, but the less you pay, the more compensation we ask for.
Right.
The more you pay, the less compensation we ask right. for. So if we get a team and it says, oh, there's no way we're paying 20 mil, we'll pay 10. And then we ask for more compensation.
Right.
I think there's a real possibility that this could still happen. But Shefty, again, puts this out there as this is what we're asking for? Is it too much?
Well, I mean, look, you can ask for anything you want. You're not going to get it. You know, aim high. Like, you know, what did Tony Montana say? Come on, babe, you go high, I go low, let's do a deal. You know what I mean? In this case, yeah, you're not. No one is going to take that money off of your books. You know, and what are you going to get, a seventh-round pick? You know, you're gonna pay $20 million. Please give us a fifth. Please, give us a fifth-round pick. Now, how about I just wait for you to cut him? Because I still think that's, as you said, post-June 1st designation, right?
Yeah, look.
But I mean, this goes back to Bill Barnwell saying you're not going to get anything for him. So, yes, Adam Schefter talks about there's still a couple of teams. He says potentially the Vikings and the Steelers, if they don't get what they're looking for in the, obviously in the draft and or Aaron Rodgers, then maybe, just maybe, that'll be an outlier, but they're only going to give us at most $10 million.
Well, look, even if that, okay, so you're paying 10 of the 45 left of guarantees on his deal, as I said, then you ask for, the more you pay, the less compensation right. we want. And then you say, okay, well, here's what else we need. And you see if a team is willing to do it. Either way, this is where this is at. And the reason why it's interesting is because this is when deals get done. This week, if you're going to do something, you want to do it while the draft is going on. Mike, acquire some additional draft capital, hopefully for this season. But either way, this is something that could potentially play out between now and next week. And this is going to be, guys, I think the last time that it will potentially play out, Mike, because, again, once the draft is done and teams go, hey, we got our guy, we're right. good, we're not interested anymore.
Right. Now, again, we've felt that the Kirk Cousins thing, we asked Steve Wyche, and you know, he thinks Steve Wyche, I thought he said it was pretty much even money that he just retires, Aaron Rodgers. And then the idea that he would be, air quotes, retiring, and then waiting for an advantageous scenario to play out where either there's an injury or something happens with a team that's a potential contender where he feels he can swoop in and perhaps, you know, be the man. I don't know. I mean, I just felt that, you know, you got two really good opportunities. It sure sounds like the Vikings are leaving that door open for him because they just don't think just yet that J.J. McCarthy's ready to be that guy. But yet knowing they've got so many weapons on both sides of the ball, got great wide receivers, you got good running backs, you got good defense. So the window is now, and Aaron Rodgers will still be better than a rookie J.J. McCarthy learning teething pains, right?
Yeah, yes.
But then the Steelers, you know, man, how do you spend 6 hours with somebody and not know one way or the other? Right? With the working on the film, talking to Arthur Smith, talking to Tomlin, as Aaron Rodgers told Pat McAfee last week.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Well, look, I think he knows. I don't think that he doesn't know. Just because he hadn't made the commitment, I do think he knows what he wants to do. It's just a matter of the timing of it. And then we played a quote from Dan Patrick earlier on his show where he was talking about he just doesn't want to get Cousins. I guess that's going to be a new term.
Right.
All right? And that term is...
Don't get Cousins.
Well, that term is I sign... And then you draft a quarterback, and then something happens during the season where I struggle or I get injured, and guess what? Now I'm done. By the way, that's a nice term for $100 million as well.
Right.
Let's not leave that out, okay?
No, I mean, look, Kirk Cousins has got us by the short and curlies here. If he doesn't want to go somewhere, he's got the final word on that, you know, with the first right of refusal. Again, he's got the say in this deal. We don't have any leverage on this deal. The only thing that happens, and that's why I don't think it's likely Carl, anything would happen before the draft, because you need teams that maybe felt if the Steelers – are the Steelers prepared to try to make a playoff run with a rookie quarterback? Is that really what they're going to try to do?
I don't know if they have a choice, Mike. If he doesn't choose to go there –
Because Kirk's already said, I'm not going to go anywhere if there's somebody over my shoulder, to your point about Aaron Rodgers and the cousining thing.
Yeah, I think this whole idea that there's no way we can move him – I think they're trying. I think they've already had multiple conversations with teams. It's just about the compensation. And if the compensation starts at, hey, we'd like for you to pay this amount,
right,
and they go, no, we're still interested, what else can we do? And then the Falcons go, well, we want you to pay this amount, and they go, no, and then you go, all right, well, what are you willing to pay? That may be where the conversation goes, but I think the Falcons have said, Mike, we've invested way too much, and this is the minimal amount that we're willing to do, and if it doesn't happen, guess what? He's with us.
All right. Well, then, you know, you broke it. You bought it. You broke it.
Right.
It's yours. Okay.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's just I still can't envision seeing him on the roster and dealing with all the distraction. I mean, maybe yes, maybe no. Some guys, you know, again, the average player maybe doesn't give a crap that Kirk Cousins pulled the crap he pulled. You know, to us, we're like, that's what the hell, man. Took off his Falcons shirt at a Super Bowl thing. Remember that media thing that he was doing? Some nonprofit. And Dee Led was out there being Mike Wallace, and all of a sudden Kirk Cousins, quick, cover up my Falcons gear. I don't know. Saying that he wasn't hurt, then he was hurt. I don't know. Easton Stick, I had a laugh when you were talking earlier about the dynamic with the Kirk Cousins contract. One of our listeners says, Easton Stick is dog blank.
Yeah.
Well, he has been a perennial backup for the Chargers.
Well, but that's the deal. I mean, everybody was asking, what are we going to do? You've not worried about the backup. Don't worry about it now.
Right. So you guys remember Taylor Heinicke?
Right.
Taylor Heinicke is the guy out playing for the Chargers who replaced Easton Stick
That's
as
right.
the backup.
Right. That's
so
right.
So kind of like did a reverse swap.
I had a laugh, though, when I heard Easton Stick. I thought, like, the Key and Peele, he'd be like the last guy, the white guy at the end. From North Dakota State?
He is, but you do need another arm for things that they're about to get into. But I think today the offseason program started, if I remember correctly. I think today for the Falcons. Either way, draft is Thursday. We got you covered. And I just feel like this is something that's going to continue to be talked about, Mike. And then we'll get past the draft. And if nothing has happened, if nobody has been able to reach a deal with the Falcons, and I'm telling you, they're calling, they're trying to make this happen. I just don't know who's going to pull the trigger as far as they're going to be willing to pay what portion of this potential salary of these guarantees left on the deal.
It's our Falcon report. We were talking earlier in the dog report with Connor Riley, and he said something interesting earlier about Mykel Williams,
okay,
who could be there for us at 15. Certainly, we may covet him. I don't know where we fall on this one, but it was interesting in Albert Breer's Monday morning, his version of Monday morning quarterback. He talks about Abdul Carter, the Michigan corner, Will Johnson, talks about Alabama's Jahad Campbell, who some teams think may have to go have surgery and after the combine start the season on the PUP list. They feel that Mykel Williams had a so-so workout last week, told teams he wasn't at his best because an ankle injury from the fall is still hampering him. So does that give you any concern?
Yes.
About, yeah, does me too.
Yes.
I got no wiggle room here. I need an impact player here.
Yeah. I I've been all over Mykal. If you had to choose, which we played this game, you know, Jalen or Mykal, and I've said I want size because size matters. But if you're telling me he's still hampered by that nagging injury, how long is this thing going to go on? What kind of concern should we have if, in fact, we do draft him and Mike Camp rolls around and then they realize, oh, does he need surgery or whatever might come forth? I don't know.
And then it's unintentionally, it's Braylon Trice 2.0.
Correct. So I just, that is a concern. Everybody, if anybody says it's not, you're not paying attention. And by the way, do you have that kind of time where you could draft a kid, even if the upside is so much that in 2 years he's going to be that special player you wanted, but in the meantime we don't get that? We don't have that kind of time.
No, I mean, and nor does the general manager. We talked with Steve Weiss. He kind of agreed with us. You know, you got here in 21, and this will be the 24-25 season. So, I mean, 25-26 season. So you better get in the playoffs. If you don't get in the playoffs, I think you're going to be gone.
Yeah, that's concerning. And for a guy like Connor to say he saw him and he didn't look like his Adonis self.
You and I both looked at each other like, what?
That is not what I want to hear. Now, again, I don't know what the circumstances are with Mykal at this point, but Mike, if the injury is hampering his workouts as well, and maybe that's why he's been lagging as far as not being able to do some of the things in these workouts that they want him to do or whatever, either way, yeah, put a little check mark down there for me right now. I don't know if it changes my opinion Thursday. I'm going to tell you where they go Thursday, where I think they're going to go, but right now, as much as I like Mykal Williams, that's concerning.
I know that I've used that the 2016 season, and if ever there was a season that kind of mirrors it, you got to look at our season, man. We got a lot of great pieces on offense we believe in. Maybe not as much in your right tackle, but you got to go get those starters, impact guys. Trading down. We talked about that with Steve Weiss as well. If ever there was a year to trade down, and we don't know. I've seen everything where this is going to be a great draft for offensive linemen. Some guys feel it's overblown for offensive linemen. Maybe all the impact guys will be there. But somebody's going to be in love with quarterbacks. There's still that Shedeur Sanders thing floating around where he may go all the way down to where we're picking it, and somebody's going to come up and get him.
I hope so.
I'd love to be able to trade down. Imagine if we had two twos and an extra, and we have a third.
Yes.
Man, that's great.
Yeah.
Provided you get it right.
Well, that would be ideal because, again, you're just adding potential of filling more needs of what you have, right? We talk about depth. Some of this stuff, again, all these guys aren't going to be starters. We do expect the first and the second, your first three picks to have big impact. But, Mike, if we were to add a couple of seconds or a couple of thirds or whatever it might be, a fourth, yeah, I like that idea because I still feel like all of our needs are not going to be fulfilled. But as our man, you know, as he came on and said when we started the show today and we were talking, he said, look, there have been teams in the past that have had five picks and they hit it out of the park and you just pick the right guys. If you pick the right three guys and your 2 7th-round picks don't pan out, it doesn't matter because you got the right three guys. That's how this has to go for the Falcons. But if we were to add picks, I'd love that as well.
Man, you think about
Steve
it,
Weiss.
Man. Yeah, Keanu Neal, Debo, Deion Jones, of course, and then Devondre Campbell. And we also got Austin Hooper in that draft.
Yes.
So you had guys, you know, that's four impact guys, and Brian Poole was the undrafted free agent. It was a big blitzing corner for us. So that was part of the team that would, you know, again, we all know how it ended, but that was a team which really, 17, that defense was really good. Offense kind of went backwards the following year.
All right, man, want to hear from you, 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. We'd love to hear from you as we count down to the draft. Lots of draft conversation throughout the course of the week, even on Thursday. We will be there until 7 o'clock leading you into the draft coverage. And Mike, and by the way, we were talking earlier, we pick 15th, just assuming we stay there. Guys are like, what time is that? I have no idea. Depends on how fast the draft is moving, guys. There are time limits, but you guys know that could mean an hour and 30 minutes into the draft before we find out who the Falcons are going to get. Could it be 9:30, 9:40? Absolutely, because the draft doesn't start until 8. So.
By the way, I didn't have this in Guy Talk. We didn't have time, but they're saying there's going to be over 250,000 people up in Green Bay for the draft.
Yeah,
I mean, the town is only 107,000 people.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be great. They're doing a great job of getting the city ready, and I think it's going to be good for Green Bay, man. I can't wait. Again, we keep saying this. I hope we get it in the next few years. I hope Atlanta is able to capture and having an NFL draft. All right, we're coming back. Grant McCauley's going to join us. Braves win over the weekend. New series starts tonight, but we got to talk about what happened next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley. Our Braves insider covers MLB for us. And Grant, let's talk about the weekend. Lots of stuff going on, man. And today, by the way, cards in town. So what did you feel like we did differently or that went right for us in this series against the Twins? Because it felt like the offense came alive and then you got the clutch hitting. I mean, Friday night was electric.
Yeah, and it definitely was. And that was a tone setter and very much a, you know, the kind of win that the Braves could build on. And we thought maybe, perhaps, you saw that in the big win over the Miami Marlins in the home opener. But then they got shut out the next night. But that didn't happen this particular weekend. I just felt like they did some good things in that first game. Yeah, they got a home run from Jared Kelnick. But when they had to put that big inning together, it wasn't sitting back and waiting for someone to hit a three-run bomb. It was walks. It was key hits, clutch hits, pinch hits. I mean, there's just a little bit of everything in that inning that had to make you feel like, okay, these are the Atlanta Braves that we thought we were going to get. This is a lot more like it. And I think that they could and did obviously build off of it, winning another close game on Saturday and then turning around on Sunday and finishing off that sweep, playing a little long ball and getting a pretty good start from Grant Holmes. And the bullpen was fantastic the entire weekend, 12 innings, two runs. That, as they say, will play. So I think it was just a complete series. And yes, the Twins were bad, but guess what? You're supposed to beat bad teams, and the Braves did that.
Everything you just talked about, Grant, every aspect you're looking for to get on a run, to win three in a row and hopefully get that momentum with Schwellenbach on the bump tonight against the Cardinals. And then, unfortunately, the story that comes out Saturday, you know, we get the Kelnick, you know, admiring his handiwork and getting blown out at second base. And then, obviously, you wish, in hindsight, that Ronald Acuna had just reached out to Snicker at some point and talked, you know, man-to-man about it. He gets frustrated, gets on social media. What is your take on this and what happens now?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and obviously it's been the talk around the ballpark, and it for justifiable reasons, I guess, based on what happened, but it's one of those things that I think you could file under, wish we could just not be talking about this at all. And I think that everyone in the situation has a little bit of responsibility and is wrong in their own way. Jared Kelnick was wrong by not running when he hit the ball. That would have obviously been the thing that the Braves needed in that moment. He got thrown out at second base. That was part one. Then after the game, you know, understanding the optics of why the expectation is to run so that plays like that don't happen, Brian Snitker didn't see it, I guess. It was is the ultimate explanation of it. But just saying, like, we're handling that would have probably quieted down a lot of the conversation around it. But then you have the trifecta of all of it, which is Ronald Acuna Jr. the next day deciding to go to social media. And, you know, I understand it. I'm not saying that he's wrong, but I think there are better ways to do it than throwing a tweet out there that throws your manager under the bus, that shines a bad light on a teammate. I mean, those are things you need to handle, I feel like, in-house. And that obviously didn't happen. Now, somebody or some bodies may have reached out to Ronald and said, hey, you know, what's the deal with this? And he decided to delete it. I think, you know, man to man, if you're going to say something, then stand on it and say it. But there are ways to do it. And that ultimately was the regrettable part of all of this, because it takes away, you know, or creates a dynamic that, look, this isn't going to just go away. These questions are going to come up again when Ronald goes down on his rehab assignment and comes back. And now, instead of being able to be, you know, 100% excited about it, you got this little black cloud off in the distance that you're going to have to deal with again. So I know that's a long answer. It's a lot of stuff, right. But there's been a lot of talk about it. I didn't, you know, talk to any particular Braves about it today. The locker room was, you know, pretty quiet for the most part, but it's just one of those things that you kind of look at everyone and they kind of all bear a certain amount of responsibility for it. For Snit, you know, him not seeing it is one thing, and I kind of understand it. There's a lot going on, but for no coaches to say anything either, for nobody to really, you know, look at that in the moment with Kelnick not running and say, hey, this has cost us an out. Now, what is the responsibility, you know, here as, you know, player to coach, coach to player, player to fans, all of those things. I mean, again, I don't want to monopolize all the time on this call on just this one thing, but I suffice it to say, have a lot of thoughts about it. And I just hated it pretty much for everyone involved. And obviously it got the fans into an uproar as well and took an otherwise exciting weekend and kind of dampened it down with a lot of rhetoric and a lot of conversation about something that I feel like is completely and totally 100% avoidable.
I don't want to get into Snit's head because I don't know. But someone said to me, well, Dukes, what if Snit was really just trying to focus on the fact that, hell, we just won a series and we've been struggling And you know what? I know that this is something that played out, but I'm trying to stay in this lane right here where I'm focused on this. And maybe that was the reasoning behind him not even saying anything to Kelnick or addressing it until the next day. And by the way, what is the relationship with Acuña and Snit? I mean, people want to take this to you know, in a direction that I don't think it's in. I think Acuña responded, but I don't think this affects their relationship. They've been together for a long time.
They have, but I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yes.
Is one way to look at it. And look, when Rama, this is, and again, this is not the first time that this has happened. And there are so many more things to love about Ronald Acuña Jr.'s game than, you know, having these kinds of incidents. And they happened back in 2019. And look, Ronald Acuña Jr. was wrong then. He was wrong about 3 months later in the postseason when he had a similar incident happen, and you would have thought, this just happened in August. How did this happen again? And there have just been some other things. I mean, none of us are perfect. Let me just go ahead and throw that out there. And, you know, human beings are complex, and we don't always get along. But I don't think that I've ever heard Brian Snitker be anything other than complimentary about Ronald as a player and as a person. And look, people are allowed to disagree, and you can still like both of those people. They just don't get along. I've got some of those relationships in my life, and they're not very interesting for the listener, but it happens. So I think that there's a conversation that can and probably will happen between the two where they will get back on solid ground. But I just, from one person to another, if you don't like something that I did or didn't do, then tell me, come to me directly. Doing it in social media, that was the misstep here, the misfire for him. And hopefully that's something that, you know, they're able to get over and push aside. I don't think it has to be, you know, the split of their relationship or right, you know, taking it to an extreme, I guess, to make a long story short.
I mean, we talked about and covered all the angles on it today, Grant. I mean, yeah, it's not, is it a federal case? No, in some cities, as you know, no. It would be, I mean, toxic, you know, on sports radio and columnists and pressing questions, as you said, until Ronald finally gets back on the field. But it just seems like maybe with Ronald, you know, it's 6 years later. And I've always felt, and I know you and I have debated this at times with Coral, does Snitker and does the team protect Ronald? You know, when Ronald has had teams come at him, and I know that, you know, sometimes maybe there was a disconnect, the perception with Freddie and Ronald over the way that, you know, the swag which Ronald, which now a number of players around Major League Baseball carry themselves.
Sure. And there's nothing, look, it's a very nuanced discussion, one to which social media doesn't do us any favors, because right, then we end up firing off pieces and fragments of thoughts and, you know, reading in between the lines and providing our own context. And the next thing you know, you've gone down a narrative rabbit hole or three or four or five that just really aren't an accurate portrayal of the situation, the circumstances, or the people involved. So I honestly think that, again, to, you know, boil it down as much as I can, there's plenty of blame to go around in this situation. I mean, I will say credit to Jared Kelnick, because he's the guy that's, from all of these situations, whether it was Ender Inciarte 7 or 8 years ago, or Ronald in 2019, or Marcel a couple of years ago, Kelnick's the one that showed up in the office and said, hey, man, I was wrong. That's all on me. I shouldn't have done that. I have to be better than that. And I'll give Jared Kelnick credit. He's not having a good season. He's had challenges throughout his big league career of becoming an established player. But in his time in an Atlanta Braves uniform, you watch him play. He hustles. He works hard. He's running. It's not a question of effort. That's not to say it is for any of those other guys, but you know, when a lot of other things aren't going right and you're not, you know, given you're blessed with the God-given talent of a Ronald Acuña or even a Marcelo Ozuna to have that kind of success, sometimes you have to control the controllables. And I feel like Kelnick's doing the best job he can with that. So, again, like, I don't want any of this to get out of context. You know, no one is right in this conversation. Let me just say that. In this situation, there's plenty to go around, but it's something that I feel like everyone could come to the table and say, hey, cooler heads. We got bigger goals. Let's move on and win some games together.
Speaking of that, let's talk about tonight as the Cards come in. Schrellenbach on the hill. Tell me what you're thinking about the Cardinals as they come in here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this is a club that I think comes into this season in a really weird place. I'm surprised that they didn't move some of the pieces that they could have over the course of the offseason. There's a lot of talk about Nolan Arenado, who has an ironclad no trade, and I don't think was interested in just going anywhere. And I think, you know, that was a question for them. They could have unloaded a couple of their pitchers and maybe just started to rebuild. But, you know, the Cardinals aren't really a team that does that. Historically, they just kind of reload, and they're, you know, typically pretty competitive, but it looks like it's going to be a challenging year for them. But it's nowhere that there's no team that you need to be overlooking right now if you're the Braves. But this is a nice homestand with a couple of opponents that likewise are having some trouble this year and that chance to continue to get right. So the Braves just need Spencer Schwellenbach to be who he normally is. I know he had some probably command issues in Toronto and got in a little bit of trouble there, but if he's able to get back on his home mound, get comfortable, give the Braves a good start, maybe they can just keep that offense thing going. And that is a pretty good recipe for winning a baseball game. And the Braves could continue what has been thus far a very profitable homestand as far as wins and losses are concerned.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, Grant. I know you mentioned Verdugo. I mean, can he sustain this? Because I know with the Yankees, he kind of cooled off at the end last year, right?
Yeah, he did. I mean, it just, I feel like, you know, new situation, change of scenery, all that kind of stuff, great opportunity, which I do feel like he's looking at this as to kind of get himself reestablished. And, you know, it's a pretty nice team to join. And I know that obviously the start's not what they want, but there's a lot of baseball left to be played, and he can make an impact here. Now, we'll see what playing time looks like on the other side of Ronald Acuña Jr. coming back and getting installed in right field. But with Profar out for half the year, this is a nice little window for Verdugo to really do some things to kind of reestablish himself and to help out this team a lot. So I'm not going to tell you it's going to be four hits every night because it certainly won't be, but I think he plays with a passion, a fire, and an edge, and it's nice to have one of those guys walk through the door maybe in a time in which you just need to up the energy some.
Great stuff, Grant. Appreciate you
stopping by.
Yeah, man, and we'll see where it goes. Hopefully we can continue to build on these dubs. Thanks again.
Yes, sir. You got it.
And as Grant said, a lot of folks fired up about this. We talked about it at length for guys who are just getting in their car today about, you know, the standard. And, you know, do you just say Snit's getting older and he really missed it? It's hard to believe a manager's not, you know, seeing this big screen and knowing what the hell happened with Kelnick. And who's Kelnick to get a pass when you're a platoon player not hustling?
I'm not going to push Grant on this. But, again, Walt Weiss didn't see it. Tim Hyers didn't see it. Rick Kranitz didn't see it. I mean, these are all guys that are right there for Snit day in and day out. Carlos Mendez didn't see it.
Right.
The assistant hitting coach. Come on. At some point, I don't buy that.
It'll be curious to see how the dynamic plays when Ron gets back.
All right, man. Coming up, he got fired today. But what's it mean for our team moving forward? If you've not heard the news, stay there. We'll fill you in on the latest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Where does our franchise go? That is the question. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're just joining us, the Hawks have let go Landry Fields. He was the general manager. And, Mike, they are searching now for president of basketball operations. It is interesting because you say, or we might have said, hey, considering the circumstances, Landry Fields had some success. I mean, one of his best players went down. You know, hey, he made the trade. The trade ended up looking pretty good when you talk about improving the bench. Yes, they didn't make it out of the play-in again, but why would you fire Landry Fields?
Now, again, for those who don't remember, Travis Schlenk never, ever, ever wanted to do the DeJounte Murray trade. Now, he might have done it for one first-round pick, but he was going to do it for three. And the idea goes back to, you got to walk it all the way back to the 21-22 playoffs when you had Trae Young getting double-teamed by Miami, and then they said, well, we're going to have to get some help for Trae. It was, well, if you get some help, you get better athletes around him you can pass the ball to, and then they can make baskets. The idea, as you pointed out, the two ball-dominant guards never worked. So Schlenk never wanted that. But this was supposedly the cabal of wrestler's son with his guys that apparently have their own analytics and their own version of what the NBA should look like, and Landry Fields was on board with it. But then at the end of the day, you're right. Chris is going to talk about it tonight coming up later. You know, he actually started to do things right after doing some things I thought very wrong. You know, you talked about bringing Caris LeVert and bringing Mann in here and certainly George Niang. You know, and Reese Sachet was certainly the right pick. Sar might be the good guy, too, for the Wizards eventually, but certainly notwithstanding these last two playoff games, Reese Sachet's look good. But then, as Carl, it come down to, is it Tony Ressler, the big guy, not the son, upset, I'm sick of this rut, as we are all sick of this playing rut, and he's going to go bring in a new general manager who might actually consider blowing things up. Or at least moving on from Trae.
Yeah, look, Tony said today in a statement, every offseason we evaluate how we operate and the way we can improve things in our organization. We enter this pivotal offseason where we have several complex decisions ahead of us. He's not lying, and I'll lay this out for you in just a second. But he also goes on to say that we're committed to providing, you know, the human and financial resources needed to ensure that we navigate these decisions with a high level of precision and foresight. Look, I said this to Mike earlier. We need big picture. And what I mean by that is it's beyond just right now. And part of the big picture is the decision that's going to happen on Trae. The reason is there's a decision on Trey is because there's nobody that's going to affect your roster financially more than Trae Young in the next year. He's eligible to sign a four-year, $229 million extension up until next June.
Mm.
And then, if he is named first, second, or third team, All-NBA, which is very likely, that goes to 5 years, $345 million. That's called a supermax. And, Mike, there's a very likely chance that could happen. And if the team says, well, you know what, we're not going to do an extension. Okay, well, Trey plays through next season, and then he opts out.
He walks.
Because he can, and he's an unrestricted free agent. He can go anywhere he wants.
And we get nothing for him.
Nothing.
Just like the Al Horford situation, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, whatever it was.
So, and by the way, he'd have to decline the $49 million player option, but he's going to, because he's going to get more than that. So this is a huge decision as we move forward. And again, he's under contract. You don't have to rush to do this, but you got to know it is looming. And then, Mike, what do you do with this core? Zachary Richache, Dyson, Jalen. I'm throwing 00 in there. 00 showed me a lot of heart the other night, mm-hmm. man. I mean, I've watched the kid all season. I've told you guys, I thought he was getting better. He needed more minutes. And he got him this season, and I feel like he's really come along. But to your point, he's the four. He's not the five. And so you still have to go get some pieces to help.
There's some dudes out there, and we'll get into the free agents, and all the guys you could trade for. But again, this is where it hurts. You don't have all that equity as far as draft picks. Because teams that are going to blow it up and give you a big center might want to be able to rebuild, but you don't have that equity to trade. Now, we got to watch and see what happens. Sorry. Real quick, Day-Day, the scenarios with Sacramento as far as where we go with the draft picks?
Yeah, so according to our guy Brad Rowland, it looks like what's going to take place right now is that the Hawks do have the 22nd pick via the Lakers for the 2025 draft. The Kings pick will enter the lottery at number 13. Atlanta is very likely to receive that selection, but the only way they will not get the pick is if Sac jumps to the top four of the lottery.
So they get lucky with the lottery with ping pong balls. Carl, we need a big. I'm down with Okongwu. Upper body doesn't. I mean, am I being too critical when I say that Jalen Johnson can't stay healthy? Because last 3 years, he's missed a lot of games.
I don't know. I don't know if we can judge that quite yet. Now, if we get into another season and Jalen next year misses multiple games, then it's going to be a real concern. But right now, Mike, I don't know if I can just say he's injury prone and therefore, you know, I can't trust him. I'm not willing to say that. The Hawks already gave him 5 years, $150 million. So they feel like he's going to be a dude.
But the thing is, and this is, I was arguing, I guess we're getting into semantics. We've had a young team. Okongwu is young. Trey is still under 26. He's 26. It's a relatively young squad. Yes, we added more youth with Risa. I get that. Dyson Daniels is young. But I've been hearing about a young core now for 3 years. We're not doing anything.
No, they haven't.
So if you're a wrestler, are you upset with this? I don't know. Got some bad news from Truist Park.
Yeah, I see that. Strider, 15-day IL?
He's going to be retroactive to the 18th, so they're going to push it back a few days. Apparently, he jacked up his hamstring having a catch.
Playing catch. So right hamstring. Mike, can anything wackier happen with this team? Seriously.
He's throwing the baseball in the outfield. He jacks up his hamstring?
Yes. So go ahead and scratch that next start for Strider. So this is retroactive to what? What's the date?
The 18th.
Okay. All right. Steal. Just wacky stuff happening, man. And by the way, Strider just got back. So
you just got a three-game win streak. You know, the weirdness with Kelenic notwithstanding. Yeah, you're feeling a little bit better about yourself, this Braves team, man. Born under a bad sign this year now.
Well, and then Chris Sale, I mean, his ERA is upwards of 6. I'm not concerned because his stuff still looks pretty good, but he only went 4 1/3 the other night when he pitched on Saturday. You're just kind of like, okay. So, yeah, that news from Truist Park. But back to the Hawks real quick here, because this story, it's going to linger. Mike, this may not happen immediately, meaning the hire might not happen. But you need to have somebody hired before the draft,
right,
which is June.
And, look, you jumped the gun, or at least you got ahead of everybody getting Quinn Snyder, signed him that $40 million deal back when. You're going to need to – and guys, where are we going to get a GM from? I don't know. Oklahoma City? They seem to have a pretty good handle on things. Any team that's leapfrogged us the last 3 years, right? Detroit, Pacers. There's a lot of guys, places you could go to. But, I mean, come on, guys. We also have to wonder, though, about wrestler, because wasn't like the perception Landry Fields was in tight with wrestler's kid?
That was the perception.
So,
yes.
So does that mean wrestlers lost faith in their process? And that's why I go back to what I asked you earlier about Trey and his long term future here.
Well, look, I get back to the numbers and what the value of Trey is and what he isn't. The organization has to figure that out. But I'm not willing to say whether they're going to do something or not until I find out who's getting this job, because that's going to determine where this goes. And that's why when we start talking, at least me, when I say big picture, guys, there's so many layers and elements to this, these aprons and being in the tax. And here's what I know about the Hawks right now. They got $50 million to spend this offseason. They can improve this team. You have to make a decision on whether or not long-term you are committed to Trey or not. And I said this, and we put a poll question up at Dukes and Bell 929. Can you win with him? And if you feel like the new GM, or excuse me, the new president of basketball ops, Mike, feels that way, who's going to come in here and basically be the overseer, then guess what? You move forward, and then you add to what we have. But that is the real question that has to be answered. So I don't know yet, because I don't know who's going to get this job.
But, I mean, I just – you got to look at this position. We said the same argument we had every single offseason. What are we doing? It's the ultimate chicken and the egg. How do you help Trey out? Trey's never really had that consistent Robin, if you want to call Trey Batman. Now, I will say this. We do get some pushback from some of the audience today, starting to feel that Trey just can't get the job done here. But in Trey's defense, as we said, you know, John Collins was an inconsistent piece. I mean, an expensive piece, but not a true star. Jalen Johnson can't stay healthy. We like the core. You mentioned Okongwu. You got to feel good about Rick Sache, but you need a true rim protector. You got to get some more size, more athleticism. And you may have to spend some form of a tax, Carl. I mean, the fans don't want to hear about we talked to Steve Koonin, like, well, it doesn't make any sense. Well, it makes no sense for me to be a fan if I know you're just stuck in neutral. This Hawks organization is like a car up on blocks right now in your front driveway.
And that's why they made a change. That's why they made a change. For the last 3 years, we haven't gone anywhere. And for the last 3 years, you've had a guy that could make – listen, Mike, you got to be bold. What's the bold move that Landry Fields made? If you're going to tell me trading DeAndre Hunter, that's not bold. That's called opportunistic.
Yeah, it was a dumb move to trade 3 number 1s for DeJounte Murray. And then, look, Trey's also coupled because Trey signed off on it, but they never executed the offense the way it was designed.
So I just feel like you got to be bold, and you got to be willing to take smart chances, to improve your team. But I'll say this. If I own the team, and you may not like this, I wouldn't be in the luxury tax right now either. 3 years of the play-in? And you want me to go spend how much more over and pay X amount of dollars for every dollar I spend?
But how do we get out of the plan without getting better players?
Well, that's the thing. The players is one thing. But if you just want me to go spend and get into these luxury taxes to do it, that makes no sense.
But I will say, I mean, yes, from a purely business standpoint, yeah. But the fans don't care.
No.
And the fans, when they find out, you know, it's like, remember last year, we were looking at like the billionaire list of owners in American sports? Wrestlers got like twice as much money as Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank has always kind of received his daddy warbucks for everything. People don't want to see our teams involved in real estate deals. Okay, they want to see our teams involved in player deals, getting the best players in here. So, again, we're going to wait and see. It may take a while to get this general manager. You said not too long.
No, you can't
wait.
But,
I mean, we can all agree. Whatever you think of Trae Young, you've wasted another season is wasted with Trae Young. With this team that just can't seem to get out of its own way, with an owner who just doesn't seem committed, fairly or unfairly, as far as business practice, to spend the way other owners will spend.
No, and I don't disagree with you. As a fan, all I care about is winning, and I want a winning product on the floor. But I'm just saying, if you and I own the team, and you came to me and said, hey, we need to spend $50 more on this team, and I said, well, for what?
Right.
That's why. Well, I mean, we're not doing anything. And then that gets back to who's making the decisions to bring the players in.
Well,
that guy's gone.
Well, that's just it. Well, your son. Now, again, this is where that old article that came out 2.5 years ago from The Athletic, inferring that your son was the de facto general manager, signing off on some of these crazy decisions.
Yeah. Well, man, it's going to be interesting. Look, the Hawks offseason was already interesting. It's going to get even more interesting. Mm. All right, real quick, before we get out of here, Strider again. Let's repeat this.
Goes back. They're going to retrograde. They're going to retroactive the 18th of April. So a couple days back today, while having a catch, playing catch in the outfield, he jacks up his hamstring.
All right.
So he's on the 15-day DL.
All right. Let's get out of here, man.
Jeez. It's unbelievable. Oh.
Hey, tomorrow, another big show coming your way as we count down to the NFL draft. Chris is coming up. Stay right here. He's got you at 6 o'clock. Thursday, we're at Flowery Branch. Friday at Flowery Branch. Thursday, we're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the draft, Mike. I can't wait. First night is always exciting, and then we're following that up there at Flowery Branch.
Who are we going to be talking to?
You know, it's a good question. If I gave you odds, Maybe we'll do this tomorrow. Right. If I gave you odds, who are we talking to? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Hey, Big O, great job behind the glass as always. Day-Day executive producing. All right, Mike Bale, we got to get out of the way, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, just talking about a general manager losing his job. I know one pretty soon is about to lose his job. Nico Harrison, in an interview, the Mavericks general manager, saying that, quote, he underestimated the connection between Dallas Mavericks fans and Luka Doncic, who, of course, he traded for Anthony Davis with the Lakers. There was also a video, I've got at Mike Bell ATL, where he leaves speaking at the press conference and he goes to exit the door behind where the backdrop is, and the door won't open. There's a metaphor in there somewhere, Carl.
Wow,
maybe someone changed the codes on his card.
That's not right. Hey, Snit, I love you. You've been great. As a matter of fact, I'm glad that the Braves gave you the opportunity to take this team and become its manager. Remember when, guys, maybe you don't, when he got the job, everybody said, he's a bridge guy. He'll be there for a year or two, and then he'll be out of there. It's been really good, but I got to be honest. What were you doing to not see that Kelnick was not hustling? It's your job to watch the game, all 162 of them, and for you to say, I didn't see it. What were you doing, Snit? Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
Your girlfriend's texting Shannon Sharp some dirty stuff.